Network. Kathleen is back from vacation on Monday. The English language includes more words than any other, according to the Word Warriors of Wayne State University. Here's a quote from their website that ought to introduce this hour's topic quite nicely. Too often we limit ourselves to words that are momentarily popular or broadly applicable and so rob ourselves of English's inherent beauty and agility. Alarmed by this tendency, the Word Warriors of Wayne State University propose to help rejuvenate the language we love by advocating for words of style and substance that see far too little use. Well, bring it on, I say. My guest is Jerry Herron, the founding dean of the Irvin D. Reed Honors College at Wayne State University. Welcome to the Kathleen Dunn Show, Jerry Herron.
Thank you, John. Good to be with you, and I wish you many beautiful words in this great new year of ours.
Well, I've often been accused of having a bigger vocabulary than is good for me. but I must admit that I ran into a few on your current top 10 list that were new entrants, but they've been noted. Words come and go as fashion dictates, and the English language has certainly evolved over the years. Why resurrect words that have fallen into disuse?
Well, I think the English language is a unique and beautiful vehicle that we've got. It's hard to say for sure about this, but by some accounts it has perhaps more words at our disposal than any other language, maybe as many as 250,000 distinct words. Now, I would say that that's a great store of riches, but who can remember 250,000 words at any given time? So I think our tendency is to narrow things down, to use what's familiar, and as we do so, I think the world becomes less various, less exciting, less capable of delighting us with all the variety and diversity that our language has at our disposal, if we'll only take a few minutes and stroll down the lanes of some of those forgotten words.
Well, it certainly is less colorful. That much is certain.
Absolutely, and not only less colorful. I mean, if you think about any experience you had for the first time, a profound experience, something you knew you were going to do again, you do it for the first time, whatever experience you might think of, drinking a glass of wine, let's say. Your friend says to you, would you like a glass of wine? You say, sure. What kind? Red or white? Doesn't matter. Oh, yes, it matters. Red wine, would you like Bordeaux or would you like Burgundy? Well, I won't string this out, but your friend goes on to teach you a little bit about the joys of appreciating what are in that glass, the things that are in that glass. And I think words are the same. You can walk down the aisles of your life, and you can have relatively few words to discriminate the joys and pleasures and the treasures of experience. The more you know about it, like the more you know about the wine that goes in that glass, the more pullulating with charm, that is, teeming and swarming with charm, does the world become before you.
Well, and you certainly you certainly then sound more erudite when that happens. I found it a little bit ironic that Michigan has one institute of higher learning trying to banish words and another trying to bring them back. Not the same words, of course, but is there something in the water over there that makes makes language such a big deal?
We are the Great Lakes State, all right.
Wow.
It might be in the water, and I think our friends at Lake Superior State are doing good work trying to get us off of these words or phrases that get overused and overused and overused. We want to help out at the other end of things by bringing back some of the absolutely gorgeous words that we've got in the language. And I might start with one. How about this one, caterwaul? It means shrill howling or a wailing noise. As the storm raged on, as we've been having here in the Midwest lately, the caterwaul from the wind as it whipped through the trees kept me from getting any sleep. Now, you could say it was a noisy night, or you could say the caterwauling of that storm was too much for me. Now, that's a lot more fun.
Yeah, it is. Although in some cases, if you're writing for the newspaper, you may be told that we'd prefer noise to caterwaul because it's shorter.
Well, I think it's always helpful to make this pedagogical. That is, our language is a magnificent source of riches. It's rich with diversity, but diversity, like the diversity of our country, we need to teach each other, not to separate ourselves from the diversity that's here in this great republic of ours, but to share in it. So if you said, oh, that caterwauling last night, could you get any sleep? That noisy night last night. But it's more fun, I think, to use an onomatopoetic word, which is what caterwaul is, or screech, or bang, or clack, words that sound like the thing being described. And I think trips off the tongue so delightfully, with a little bit of help and pedagogical, that is teacherly intervention, I think people will be happy to know that there's such a thing as caterwauling.
Well, do you caution people to use some moderation when they're introducing these words to their speech so that they don't sound pretentious?
Of course. We don't want people to sound like a rapscallion, that is, a scoundrel who's trying to perpetrate flapdoodle, which is the speaking of nonsense, which you're probably using to try and hornswoggle somebody else, that is, to mislead them. Not what you want. But I think we're in a case where people spend so much time, many of us spend so much time talking with our thumbs, that is, clicking out those little keys. We sometimes forget what a joy it is to have a word trip off of your tongue, like rapscallion or flapdoodle. Or here's one of my favorites, as we head into a political season, bloviate, which means to speak at length in a pompous or boastful manner. Now, if once you know that there's such a thing as bloviating, you look around and you say, good grief, I knew that there was something going on here before, but now I know exactly what to call it. So I think it's useful, not pretentious. It's not so much erudite as it is a delight to say, that guy was bloviating. Did you hear it?
Yes, and it sounds so much better when you say it. You publish this list of words each year. How long have you been doing this, and how did it get started?
We've been doing it, I don't know, 5-6 years now, I think. It got started when a group of friends were sitting around toward the holiday season in one year, and we were talking about Lake Superior and saying, you know, that's a good effort to try and make things a little bit more descriptively rich by taking out of circulation words that are overused or phrases that just get turned into cliches. But then we started talking about these lovely words that can trip off the tongue, like opsimath, which is a person who begins to learn or study only late in life. My father never read a book until he was retired, and then he turned into an opsimath, constantly with a library book under his arm. And we started playing that game with each other, and we said, you know, we should have a website. And working at a university, we cooked one up, and I would invite your listeners to join us there at wordwarriors.wayne.edu. Nominate a word, vote on a word, come on along. We would be absolutely pullulating with joy to have the good company of anyone who wants to take part in this effort.
I am reasonably certain that a link to that webpage exists on the Kathleen Dunn Show page on Facebook, and if not, it will shortly. Hint, hint to the producers.
Lovely.
I'd like to get our listeners involved in this, because I would be willing to bet that our callers, our listeners, have words they would like to see come back. I'll caution people, this show is not about words you'd like to see us stop using. We did that show New Year's Day. So don't need to do that again. We're talking about words we'd like to bring back that would add color and spice, flavor to our conversation and perhaps our writing. So if you would like to nominate a word, you can do so on the show today at 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Send an email to talk@wpr.org or find the Kathleen Dunn Show on Facebook or Twitter and make your suggestion there. All right. So, what's been the response to your effort so far? I mean, I see your website, as you point out, has a place where people can nominate words they'd like to see resurrected, and you maintain a list of the entire list, the accumulated words from the time when you started this. What's been the response to your efforts?
Very, very favorable. I think it's one of those things where, like the friend offering you some lessons in how to drink wine, I think the reception has been very much like that. Who knew that we had all of these possibilities at our fingertips? And I would remind people of the word of the week, for an example, tintinabulation. Now, that's another one of those that sounds kind of onomatopoetic. That is, a word that sounds like the thing it's describing. Tintinabulation is a ringing or a tinkling sound, like he walked through the village at midnight and the tintinabulation of the church bells made him feel nostalgically at home. So, yes, people have liked that. And I think it's like finding out about anything else, opening this gate, and all of a sudden you see behind it a lot of wonderful things that you could use at any given time to describe the world and its beauties.
Well, I have to admit, I was all agog when this show was offered to me. I jumped all over it. Well, let's talk about the this year's list of words. I mean, I consider myself fairly well read and a literate individual with a fairly decent vocabulary, if I do say so. But I'll tell you what, there were items on this list that were new to me, and I'm not exactly an opsomath.
I doubt that you are.
I have to tell you that when I was a very little boy, my mother used to make me learn a new word every day. I had to be able to spell it and use it in a sentence. And that got me into some trouble in kindergarten because the teacher didn't believe I actually knew what the words I was using meant.
But now that's the good thing about this kind of pedagogical moment, as I was saying, this teacherly opportunity. If we teach each other not only how to say these things, but what they mean, then we're sharing the good life. And I have to say that one of the joys of being part of the Word Warriors and getting to see the list and see the words as they come in is that I'm always surprised by words that I didn't know. Consinity, for example,
yes,
is one
that was
from
one.
This year.
Yes.
That's a
yeah.
brand new one to me, consinity. That is the skillful or harmonious arrangement in fitting together different parts of something. And it's almost one of those words that sounds like the thing it's describing, like the consinity of the composition, the consinity of Bach fills me with a kind of joy. That is the harmonious fitting together of those parts. And you can almost hear, or at least for me, I can almost hear Bach playing when I think about consinity.
Well, absolutely. You mentioned some words that you have that are kind of favorites of yours. What other ones do you really like?
Well, there's another one on our list this year, obambulate. Obambulate, which means kind of walk around, basically. But if you think about, it was a beautiful spring day. I looked up at the lovely cerulean, that is the sky blue. I was there with the beloved, and we took a walk on the beach. Well, that's kind of nice, but it's like wearing a brown suit to a formal occasion. You want to wear a tuxedo if you're going to have pleasure like that, so instead of just walking around on the beach, you might want to obambulate.
Well, what's the difference between obambulate and ambulate or perambulate?
I think they're all variations of the same Latin root, as a matter of fact. So you would have to get your dictionary up and discriminate the fine gradations of meaning there, I think, but good question. I think we've ambulo, I think, believe, is the Latin root of all of those words.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it just depends on what variety of ambulation you want to undertake.
Well, because when I saw that one, obambulate, I hadn't, that was one that was new to me, and I'm always interested in learning new things. Let's look at some of the others on this year's top 10. You already mentioned caterwaul. We talked about that.
Right.
Consinity, flapdoodle, and talk show hosts know all about flapdoodle. sometimes it's the host, sometimes it's not. Knavery. A roguish or mischievous act.
Exactly. His time in office was founded on malice, lies, and knavery. That's clearly somebody probably guilty of bloviating and most likely a perpetrator of flapdoodle.
If not worse.
A rapscallion at the very least.
Right. And then the word mélange is here. And that, you know, you talk about English having all these words, but one of the reasons English has so many words is that we're really good at borrowing from other languages and then just basically incorporating them into our lexicon. Mélange is French, is it not?
Yes, of course, and that's a good point to make. English is this wonderful kind of creative sponge. It starts out as a Germanic language that then comes to England, and in England it bumps up against some Nordic words from Viking incursions, then the French invade. There's some Church Latin that gets mixed into things, and then we go hiking off to the New World with all kinds of other opportunities. So that is one of the sources of the vast richness of the English language. It is such a good vehicle for absorbing. Borrows from all over the world, and mélange is a great case in point. And I think here, too, I was talking about how we seem to be so addicted to talking with our thumbs and not thinking much about how a word actually sounds. You could have yourself a fruit salad, or you could have a mélange of beautiful fruits. And I think I would rather have the mélange myself.
Well, I think it's pretty safe to say that the English language is a mélange all by itself.
Well done. Well done.
Thank you. No Philistine eye.
Absolutely not. You're the furthest from a troglodyte of anybody I can imagine.
Well, Philistine is one of the words on your list. A person who is hostile or indifferent to culture and the arts, or who has no understanding of them.
Exactly. Now, that's a kind of interesting, the origin of the word is kind of interesting. It seems to have come from 17th century German slang usages. There was apparently, in certain German towns, a lot of hostility between university students and the populace, the sort of town-gown rivalry. And they got pretty feisty, some of these. And along about then, students began to refer to those folks who were not much attuned to learning or not much given to respecting these university students' ways as Philistines. So, and that comes down to us pretty much in the same slangy sense that those students were using in the 17th century.
And, of course, that word itself comes from the Old Testament.
Right.
So where it had a completely different use. We're going to take a break and come back and have more of this wonderful conversation about words. We have some callers who want to join us. We've gotten a few emails, so we'll share those. And plenty of room for you to participate. What word would you like to see us bring back? 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. By the way, there's a link to the Word Warriors webpage at Wayne State University on the Kathleen Dunn Show Facebook page. You should go there and take a look at their word list. Look at the whole thing to see if the word you wanted to bring back isn't already there. And even if it is, let us know why you think that's an important word for us to use. We're talking about words we might want to bring back, give a little airing, air them out a little bit, and show the world that we can be colorful in our speech and not be profane. Let's see. What are we doing? Okay, we're going to take a break, and I just want to mention them. My guest is Jerry Herron, founding dean of the Irvin D. Reed Honors College at Wayne State University and one of the people responsible for this word list that we're talking about today. I'm John Munson, in for Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This hour, we're talking about words. Specifically, we are talking about the about some words that, well, we might want to bring back into popular usage. Give them a good airing out, and take them for a walk down the street, show them off to all of our friends, and so forth. Jerry Herron is with us, the founding dean of the Irvin D. Reed Honors College at Wayne State University. They've recently published their list of top 10 words to bring back in 2015, and we've been going through them, and we have a whole bunch of people who want to participate, which is wonderful. Here's an email from Marcus. We'll start out with this. Marcus emails, I've been using swanky anytime I can for about 3 years now on my personal mission to bring swanky back, and this past year I've been noticing more and more of my friends using it. Slowly I am succeeding. Well, bravo, done. Marcus. Yes.
Absolutely. No Philistine is he.
No, full marks there, Marcus. Way to go. All right, let's go to the phones, and Mary is with us from Madison. We'll start with you, Mary. Go ahead.
Yeah, just a quick comment before I offer the word. I think one of the best uses of English is poet William Blake and the Bible. But my word is zeitgeist, and I heard it from an art critic, and I don't know if it's in my dictionary or not.
Of course, Zeitgeist, that's a German word, literally just right out of the German. It means the sort of spirit of the age, the Zeitgeist of early 21st century America. Now you get to fill in the blank. That is, what is the controlling spirit of the time? And people would have various opinions about that. Like, the Zeitgeist of World War II was, you know, making the world safe for democracy. That was a kind of Zeitgeist of the time.
And Mary, thanks so much for that. You know, we get so many really colorful words from German. Some people criticize it as being a rather drab language, but, you know, you look at words like Zeitgeist and Schadenfreude and even Farfugnugen. There are so many really interesting words, the way the Germans just kind of freight train a whole bunch of syllables together, and they have a word that has a really long definition, but it's one word. It's such a fascinating language.
Absolutely. We, you know, not to forget, we started out as a Germanic language. That's the way that we got into English. A Germanic language comes to England and begins mixing it up with all these other words. Quite true.
How unfortunate that we didn't borrow their grammar.
Well, I think that's one of the things about grammar and spelling in English. We have a track that, or a record of all of the tracks into the language with different kinds of usages, different kinds of words and spelling. It's no easy place to try and make your way as a first-time speller, certainly.
And even constructing sentences and figuring out where everything goes. There are so many exceptions. It just it can be really difficult. Let's see. Let's go to Menominee, and Martha is on the phone with us. Martha, hello.
Hi. Good afternoon. Love this show. I learned this one from Nero Wolfe, the detective in the Rex Stout novels, and he was. You know, fictional character, but
sure.
He is quite the proponent of vivid use of the English language, and that is fatuous. I want to hear fatuous more. I just love saying it. It's just fun to say.
Fatuous, yes, well, that's a good one.
You got a definition for us?
Well, I take it he's always saying to his sidekick, Archie, this is fatuous. And I got sick of wondering what it meant in the context, so I looked it up. But it, what I understand it to mean is foolish or flummery or...
Exactly. Well, yeah,
yeah,
sort of
silliness.
Smugly self-satisfied. And definitely a fatuous individual is one that you would want to... Well, you would want to point out they might be guilty of bloviating, for all I know.
And it's certainly they would be responsible for quite a bit of flapdoodle.
And execrable in every possible way, which is to say atrocious or deplorable.
Yes, or even excremental. Martha, thank you for participating.
Well done.
800-486-8645, 800-486-8645. A couple of lines have just opened up. Your chance to share the word that you would like to see brought back. Be sure that when you you make your suggestion that you can use it in a sentence. There will be a quiz, and we will be giving marks. Let's go to Laura. Laura in Burlington, you're next. Go ahead.
Hello, thank you. Well, I don't have a word suggestion, but I need a suggestion. I'm a member of the Toastmasters in Walworth County, and tonight I'm the grammarian for tonight's meeting. The theme of the meeting is love, and that's for the month of February. And I was wondering if you might have a good suggestion that I could use for the for our group.
Well, I've got, perhaps try this one out, concupiscence. That means lust or sexual desire. So you might say, let us not fall into concupiscence, but let us talk rather about true love.
Wow. And that's concupitas?
You can look it up on our Word Warriors list. concupiscence.
C-E-N-C-E. And I will mention the website, too, to our group.
Thank you. I can't think of anything more delightful than having a Toastmaster join us on Word Warriors.
Yeah, just be careful to avoid bibulous.
Exactly. And sometimes when people get bibulous, that's when love turns into something else.
See, I thought bibulous was the Roman god of wine. Shows what I know. Maybe that was only in a Terry Pratchett book I read. Let's go to Susan in Milltown next. Oh, I'm sorry, Mike in New Berlin. I'm sorry, I was reading the wrong line of the screen. Mike in New Berlin, go ahead.
Hi, say my word is addleated, and it means to be on a tilt or a skew. And my favorite phrase is, you're an addleated, sieve-headed, no account.
Wow.
Oh, my.
That's a great, I hope you're going to send it in to us.
Yeah, yeah. Be sure to go to the website and add that word to their lexicon, because you'll get, yes.
Sounds
get
to me
a lot
like
of applause.
An easy runner for the top 10 of this year.
Mm-hmm.
Addleated. Love that one.
Mike, thank you so much. And next we'll go to Susan in Milltown. Susan, go ahead.
Hi. The word I would like to see come back is insipid.
I think
our society deserves that one to come back. And the other word I love is indubitably. Indubitably.
Yes.
That just sounds so Sherlock Holmes-like.
And
he's one of my favorites.
And that's one of those cases where I think the point of this whole project of bringing these words back is that, sure, you can say things in a lot of different ways, but some of them are simply more fun. Indubitably. That just plays on the tongue in the most delightful way. You could say, well, without a doubt. Or you could say, indubitably.
Well, and we're not trying to be blithe about this. This is a serious subject. We're taking it seriously. Bill in Bloomington. Oh, I love alliteration. Bill in Bloomington, you're on the air.
Yeah, so I just had a question about the website. I was wondering if the words were also pronounced for the people that were using the website, so they could not only see how it's spelled, but pronounce it correctly.
We don't have an audio function on the website yet.
It's not very difficult, though, to find a phonetic spelling. If you Google a word, and a lot of times there will be an audio tab that goes along with that. So it's pretty easy to find out how words are correctly pronounced. But, you know, that brings up, that's a great point. Bill, thanks so much for that call, because there's nothing worse than using a word, but not either not using it correctly or mispronouncing it, which suggests that you really don't know what it means. Let's go to, we have an email from Christian. Christian emails, the television writer-director Joss Whedon had a series that took place in a future where Chinese and English mixed to become a global language. One of my favorite parts of that series is that they used shiny as a term similar to cool or awesome. I've tried to get this popularized in my circles, but to no avail.
Wow.
That's shiny.
You and on me, but I think, again, it's one of those great fusion experiences where English bumps up into something else, and this is an imaginary case where English bumps up into something else and turns up a new word, but I think just like swanky, you know, if enough persistence, like one of your callers said, trying to get swanky back into frequent kind of use, I think shiny is certainly worth bringing along with swanky.
Well, we can have swanky language, and we can give our speaking a little swagger, perhaps.
Oh, absolutely.
Judy and Racine,
hi,
you're on.
Hi, this is a fun program. I have a word that might be considered slang, but I think it's a useful one, and that is spiffy.
Oh, I love spiffy.
Spiffy,
I do
there's
too.
A blast from the past.
And that might be slang. You know, that's a very good question. Sometimes the etymology, that is the history and the origin of a word, can be really interesting. And it would be cool, very cool to know where spiffy came from.
Well, I have heard it used in the context of someone from England, maybe talking about having a spiffing good time.
Well, I'm just kind of typing it into the internet here, and yes. Looks like something stylish or amusing. It seems to be, you're right on the money there.
It's spiffy. Okay. Judy, thank you so much for that. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. That's the number to call to join our discussion of words we'd like to see brought back. 800-486-8655. We're talking with Jerry Herron, who is one of the people at Wayne State University that is responsible for creating a top 10 list each year of words that we'd like to see come back. And let's go to Sue in Madison next. Sue, hello.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, hi there. Yeah, the word I would like to hear more often is crapulous.
Ah, that is a good one.
Crapulous. Sue, can you use it in a sentence for us?
Oh, absolutely. After another crapulous evening, I've got a heck of a headache.
There you go. In fact, you nailed it. In fact, a close relative of crapulous, crapulent, is on our word list, which is overindulgence and the way you feel after you commit it.
Too much worship of the god Bibulus, perhaps.
Something like that, so that you wake up in the morning with an execrable feeling in the head.
And you feel like your head is about to bifurcate.
Whoa!
Yeah, okay. I totally went there because why not? One of the things I'm curious about is, is there like a committee there or a group of people that goes through all of the suggestions you receive in a year? And what, do you have a secret ballot? Or how do you decide what gets into that into the top 10 list?
Highly scientific, and I can't really divulge the mechanisms that we use.
Ah, okay.
But believe me, it's totally scientific, which is to say we get around, look at the list, and think, what are the really best ones on here? And then off come the 10.
Okay. All right.
Like I said, completely scientific.
Yes. I totally get that. Got it. All right. Charlie in Wichita, Kansas. Charlie, Charlie, go ahead.
My word was nifty.
What was that?
I'm sorry. You'd say it again. You're on a bad cell.
Oh. Okay. My word was nifty.
Nifty?
Yeah.
N-I-F is in Frank, T-Y?
Yes.
Nifty, okay. There's another blast from the past. Like spiffy, nifty.
Nifty or moxie or, those sound like, beautiful nostalgic kind of words. That I'm not sure what decade they're from, but they certainly bespeak a decade other than the one we're in.
By all means, let's bring those back. They can't be any worse than some of the slang that we hear today, and maybe more colorful. Hang on a second. Let's go to Margaret in West Bend. Margaret, go ahead.
Yes. Word that I like a lot is pontificate, which is bloviating, but at a higher level of authority. So if you were to picture in the dictionary, a picture of bloviating would be a picture of Rush Limbaugh, but pontificating would be from the Pope.
Oh, well, pontiff, yes.
Well, I like the idea that you can sort of style up. You start with bloviating, but if you want to put it in a little better costume, then you can pontificate it.
But the Pope would actually have an excuse to pontificate because he is, after all, the pontiff.
There you are.
So he would have to be extended some grace. In that case, my mother likes to talk about people who like to speak from pontifical heights. And that's a particular, she's fond of that phrase. Bruce in Milwaukee, let's go to you next. Bruce, hello. Go ahead.
I like the word fusiferous, which is eats algae.
Really?
Pusillanimous.
Oh, pusillanimous, yes.
Now that is a terrific one.
Yes.
And I don't know what this word means, but somebody called me this once in New Orleans. It was scallywag.
A scallywag, well.
Scallywag. I think that a scallywag is probably one of those folks likely to be committing hornswoggling behavior. A rapscallion, in other words.
Yes, or guilty of knavery.
Or something close.
Okay.
Not quite fighting words, but certainly insulting. Pusillanimous.
It reminds me of Yosemite Sam,
yes.
Someone who might be calling another person a scallywag.
A scallywag, right. Pusillanimous. Now, that would be a word that might be really good as an Elizabethan insult. Maybe Shakespeare could have used that one.
Indeed, and I think it's a nice one. If you're going to call somebody timid or cowardly, which is what the word means, you could do that. But again, it's so much more fun to say, what a pusillanimous knave he is.
Yes, it just sounds so much better. It's, just rolls off the tongue. Richard in Madison. Richard, go ahead.
Hi there. One thing interesting is most of the words suggested are adjectives, some nouns, some verbs. But the word I'm thinking of is a verb that's a very playful, active verb, and that is skedaddle.
Skedaddle.
I wonder if isn't that another slang word from skedaddle. It's a great word.
It might be, but...
Well, it used to be 21 or skidoo. You know, if you weren't 21, you couldn't go in the bar. You had to skedaddle out of there. I think that one comes to us from the early 20th century, but I could just be entirely wrong. We need to take a break, so we're going to have to skedaddle for just a moment, but I promise we will come back in about a minute and continue our conversation with Jerry Herron, who is the one of the folks at Wayne State University, who brings us the Word Warriors top 10 list of words that we maybe ought to use more often. Bring some color and some vitality to our conversation. Elevate things a little bit. And instead of appealing to the lowest common denominator, maybe we could go for something a little bit higher. 800-486-8655, the number to call to suggest a word that you would like to see come back. Love to hear from you. We've got a lot of phone callers to get to and some emails, some Facebook posts. Lots going on here today. John Munson in for Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the IDS Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This hour we're talking about words, specifically words we would like to see used more often, maybe brought back from whatever purgatory we've stored them in and given a good airing. My guest is Jerry Herron, founding dean of the Irvin D. Reed Honors College at Wayne State University and one of the people responsible for the Word Warriors at Wayne State, who have made it their mission in life to resurrect words that have fallen into disuse. We have lots of phone calls. Let's get right to them. Chris in Cooksville is with us. Chris, go ahead.
Greetings, Jerry and John.
Hi, Chris.
I just returned from Michigan last week, where my aunt celebrated the anniversary of her 102nd birthday.
Wow.
Well, many happy returns.
I know it. And she offered me, and was so grateful for, a book of poetry she just published. And it's her eighth or ninth book now, poetry. And the title of it is a word I've never seen. And I'm hoping, because I don't have the book with me, I'm hoping you can shed some light on it. As I remember, it's L-A-P-P-I-D, maybe lapidary or lapidiac?
Yeah, lapidary.
Lapidiac?
Sure.
Lapidary, you know, or go ahead.
Well, it has to do with, I think, it's a kind of related to jewelry, like cutting. A lapidary is a cutter or a polisher or an engraver or the art of cutting gems. So I think poets often would be engaged in work that you would call lapidary, that is, to do the embellishing and the polishing of beautiful language. So as applied to a poetry book, I think lapidary would be exactly apropos.
Well, Chris, congratulations to your grandmother for her 102nd birthday. Wow, that's quite an accomplishment. My mother always says that she wants to live to be 100 with a day to repent. So I hope that she doesn't tell me what she thinks she might need all day to repent from. Chris, thanks so much for your call. And I love it when we get all these people participating. That's what makes talk shows work. Barbara in Waupaca, you're next. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. I grew up in a household that loved words, my mom and my dad both. And we would not only be checked on proper pronunciation, but meaning and spelling constantly. My mom was a first grade teacher, and she would exhort her children to have clean desks, and she would say to them, "I don't want to see that inside of your desk all hunkle-de-bunkle."
Wow.
And those first graders all knew what she meant by hunkle-de-bunkle.
I'm not even sure that's a real word, but it sure sounds great.
Well, it's a word if you use it and it has meaning.
Indeed.
What is it the Mad Hatter said? Words mean what I say they mean, no more and no less.
Well done. And hunkety bunkle sounds like it could be a Lewis Carroll word.
Yeah, I remember being told once my shirt was partially untucked that I looked like a gilly-galoo bird.
I was thinking of the Frumious Bandersnatch.
There you go. Well, that's another one. Yes. Barbara, thanks so much. And, you know, so much of how we think about words, Jerry Herron, it comes from the way our parents spoke to us and the things they had us read and the way our family dynamic worked. But it seems like one of the things we see today, people read fewer books, although I see Mark Zuckerberg has recently discovered books. I thought that was pretty amazing. Hey, look at these things. Wow, who knew this was here? I just kind of scratched my head on that one. The way our families, the way we grew up kind of determines a lot about how we use language, doesn't it?
Oh, I think it does, absolutely. And the long tradition of families sitting down together and telling stories to each other and then reading aloud to each other, I think, is crucially important when it comes to just finding the sheer pleasure of speaking and reciting and the sheer pleasure of language that's spoken rather than language that's clicked into a keyboard or language that you just thumb your way through in a text message or some kind of Facebook entry.
Well, and the, you know, the 140 word character limitations of things like Twitter don't tend to lend themselves to longer words. Our speech is becoming littered with shorter and shorter expressions, which perhaps mean less and less as we go along. But enough pontificating on my part. Let's go to Andy in Eden. Andy, go ahead.
Good afternoon. Without being churlish, I'd like to say that gentlemen leave me quite flummoxed with your discussion.
Oh, my.
Okay.
Oh.
Well, that's the sort of thing that makes me feel almost like a troglodyte in the presence of such erudition.
No mere twaddle and flummery here. Andy, thank you for churlish and flummoxed. I like that. Andy, good call. Frank in Onalaska is next.
Well, I've got a word for you, John. I'm not sure it's used a lot. It's Walkerfeller.
Walkerfeller. What does that mean?
What is it? Yeah, what is that word?
It's in honor of our governor, the politician who panders to the favors of the riches to the detriment of the electorate. Walkerfeller.
Ah, okay. I got it. That's a purely Wisconsin word at the moment and very political. Frank, thanks for the call. Let's go next to James in Janesville. Gosh, this entire show has been one alliterative call after another. James in Janesville, go ahead.
Yes, my word is sachet.
Sachet? Mm,
yes.
Hmm. Now, that's a nice one because it can be a couple of things at least.
The bride sachet down the aisle.
Right. Or something that you
would put... I'd rather watch your sachet down the beach.
Ah, well, we aren't going to go there. This is a family show, James.
Not sachet on the beach. Let's obambulate. That's a lot nicer.
Yeah, that'd be more polite than sacheting. I don't know. Okay. James, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Let's see. Don in Spring Green. Go ahead.
Sure, if I don't get this correct, maybe Barb will be mad at me, but posthumously?
Posthumous, yes.
A degree in lieu of? So, in lieu, actually, is nice as well.
Right, in lieu, in place of. And posthumous, of course, being after a person is dead. So, unfortunately, the graduate didn't live to see his commencement ceremony. His degree was awarded posthumously.
I have a quick question, though. I play a lot of Scrabble, and a word came up called Zyurgy.
Zyurgy?
Did you spell
Z-Y-U-R-G-Y.
Z-Y-U-R-G-Y? That's a new one on me.
Zoology.
No kidding. Huh.
Yeah, and I couldn't find any evidence of it anywhere.
Well, then I would think that maybe the person you were playing with was pulling
No, the computer.
Oh, the computer. Oh, okay.
Yeah, the computer whipped it out, so...
Z-Y-U-R-G-Y, huh?
Hmm.
Yeah, Z as in two.
I got called out for using the word Myrmidon in a game.
Now that's a great one.
Yeah. And,
thank you.
Yeah, after that, no one would play with me.
Passionate follower, right? Something like that?
Myrmidon, I believe, refers to a Greek military formation. A Myrmidon, yes. M-Y, I don't remember how to spell it now. It was a long time ago. Anyway, let's go to Ramona in Delavan. Ramona, go ahead.
Oh, hello. I've never done this before. I'm 70 years of age. And when I had my computer, I'm on a very fixed income. And I'm right out here. And listen, I love languages. I don't always pronounce my words properly. I spoke English. Oh, German before I went to public school. When I worked in private homes, I came across all types of persons with different languages, and I resided most of my life here, getting my children educated in Whitewater High School and school system. Now, what intrigues me is words. I don't always pronounce them properly because we all have. So when I have my computer, I look at the spelling of the word computer. Guess what happened? They didn't know how to spell the word computer in spell check.
What?
Yeah, isn't that a guess? Now, your guess, that could either be an M-A-R-T or it could be a jovial laughter. Hmm. They did not know I'm such a... The word is query.
Query.
Q-U-E-R-Y.
Okay.
What was that?
The word is query. Q-U-E-R-Y. It's a noun.
Wow.
A query is like a question. That would be a related word.
And it's plural because it could be doubting. So if that is doubting, and one thing on this, I wish sometimes you have, guess where the words are really found? In the old dictionary, Botanica, if you can find any of these, the new dictionaries, they just don't have it.
Yeah.
The word coint. I don't know how to spell the word coint. I have not, but I know what it means. It could be either snobbery or it could be, that was a quaint idea. It has many definitions in different languages.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ramona, thanks.
You know what? Excuse me. You know one thing? I love the Beacon newspaper that is published out of Walworth County here.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with the Beacon newspaper?
No, I'm not familiar with the Beacon.
Oh, no. It's a free newspaper. He is so quaint. He's a retired journalist, if I remember right.
Okay. Ramona, we need to go because we're running out of time, but thanks for the call. Let's go to Jacob in Burlington. Jacob, go ahead.
Hi. The word I would like to use more and understood more is stool pigeon, and it comes from the historical days, the 1800s, when the passenger pigeons were market hunted, and they would tie a passenger pigeon, to a stool, a stake in the ground, tethered there, and it would fly up, and it would attract other birds in which they would then net. And obviously, it's the demise of their own species because we exterminated it. But I would love that. I never knew what the historical context was because the pigeons were all gone. But that's the basis of it, and I wish we had a better historical understanding of if its meaning.
I mean, that's a case where an etymology, that is the history, the origin of a word, can be really fascinating. It can take you back to an historical moment like this one. It can show you how English traces its way back into other languages and different arrivals of people on the same piece of terrain. That's a great example.
Jacob, thanks so much for the call. Let's go next quickly to Doug in Menasha. Doug, go ahead.
Hi. The word I'd really love to see make a return is Sisyphean.
Ah.
Related to Sisyphus.
That poor guy who was always pushing the rock up the hill that would only just roll back down every night.
Right.
Yeah.
Task with no reward.
Yeah, I have a great deal of empathy for Sisyphus. Doug, thanks for your call. We're getting really close to being out of time. Let's try and get one more in, and we'll go to Lisa in Egg Harbor very quickly.
Hi, I love to use the word obsequious, and I like to use it regardless of what it means. It just sounds so nice, and it means subservient or to kowtow as if my dog always acts obsequiously when she wants a treat.
There you go. Committing sometimes unctuous behavior, that is.
Yeah.
Insincerely polite.
Thank you.
And Steve Martin once used it in a song saying that we needed to be obsequious, purple, and clairvoyant. I don't remember the name of the song, but I remember the line. Lisa, thanks so much. Very, very quickly, Deborah, we're in the last couple of minutes here. Deborah and Brown Deer, go ahead. What's your word?
I am often rhapsodical while thinking about my homeland in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
Rhapsodical, yes.
I can
lovely
imagine
word.
Because the cerulean, which is to say the blue of the sky, is so brilliant, it makes one pullulate with joy.
Which might be the reason why you said, is it in the water? You know, it's maybe
could
just looking at the water.
Gotta be.
The aesthetic beauty of it that
wonderful
inspires people in Michigan, too.
Wonderful. Deborah, thanks so much for your call, and thanks to everybody who participated this hour. What a wonderful and fun time I'm hoping we all had. I know I did, and Jared, sounds like you did, too. But I think you got a few words there that you might want to consider adding to the list. Words will come in all the time. We have a link to your website where people can make suggestions. Any words we haven't mentioned yet today you want to be sure to mention in this last minute of the program?
Let me see. Phantods. That's a kind of nice one. It's a state of extreme anxiety. When you're confronted with a new word, don't lapse into a state of anxiety. That is, don't let the fantods overtake you. Just write that word down and look it up.
Mm. Excellent. Good place to conclude. Thank you so much. What a fun hour. Really appreciate you being here today.
Thank you, John. It's been a pleasure, and I wish you a year's worth of really great words.
I look forward to it. You too. Jerry Herron is the founding dean of the Irvin D. Reed Honors College at Wayne State University and one of the people responsible for the Word Warriors list of words we want to bring back. K.P. Whaley is responsible for producing this program. We had on-air production help today from Lisa Nalbandian and Scott Myers. Thanks so much for them, for their efforts as well. I'm John Munson in for Kathleen Dunn. And by the way, she'll be back on Monday. This is the Ideas Network of WPR.